could your podcast intro and your episode titles be completely killing your potential growth? Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, and I help coaches and entrepreneurs launch podcasts that only take 1 or 2 hours a week to manage. And after today's episode, I would say yes, 100%. Your episode titles and your podcast intro are two of the most important factors in growing a podcast. I brought somebody on who has personal experience with this. His name is Nate Palmer. He has a podcast called The Low Carb Hustle, which at this point has 1.5 million downloads and is climbing and climbing. And there were three big ideas in particular that we talked about. One is how he changed his intro, which led to then a 300% increase in his podcast downloads. And he gets into exactly what he does for his intros that makes that possible. And then the second thing that he mentioned was how smaller guests are actually better than big guests for many reasons. And the last thing, I realize this is not in order of the actual episode, but all these things were discussed. The last thing that he mentioned was the biggest thing for me, which was that he attributes the majority of his podcast growth to the way that he titles his episodes, which to me is crazy. I didn't even think about that. He, again, gives the specific strategy that he uses for titling his episodes and finding keywords and all that jazz. Guys, this is one of the best episodes that I did. There is so much stuff in here that I couldn't even remember all of the actionable takeaways. So if you are looking to really do the things that move the needle to grow your podcast and grow your business, then this is 100% going to be a good use of your time to listen to this episode. And if you liked what you hear and you want more support and more trainings and resources and help to grow your own podcast, then please hop into my totally free school community platform. It's on the platform School. It's completely free. And I post weekly trainings in there. There's a weekly Q&A call where you can hop on a call and meet and talk to us and ask us questions. So please, please jump in there and the link will be in the description. Okay, let's get into the episode. All right, Nate, welcome to Oh My Pod. I'm freaking stoked to talk to you.
Dude, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me. This is going to be great.
Yeah, 100%. Do you go, well, first of all, I actually want to say, I want to give credit to Grow the Show, an absolutely amazing podcast. That's where I first heard you. That's where your energy caught me. And so, but other than that show, have you been on a lot of podcasts about podcasting?
Not very many, probably 4 or 5. The majority of the podcasts I go on, I try to keep in kind of I try to do personal development. I talk to a lot of dad podcasts and then tons of fitness and nutrition and kind of mindset podcasts.
Yeah. Cool, man. I'm pumped to have you on here because I think that you have the biggest show out of anybody that we've ever had on here. So I don't know, man. You're well past a mil downloads now, right?
Yeah, we hit 1.5 in January.
Let's go. Wow, 1.5. So you're growing fast too then.
Yeah, we have been growing fast. And then all of a sudden in February, we had our lowest month in a year. So I don't know. Maybe everybody hates me now. So it could be either way.
We could get into that. I know about, that's cool. I think the way that your show is set up is a big part of why you're getting so many new listeners and keeping these listeners. And that's one of the things that I really want to get into. But first of all, okay, the first thing that I want to know, because you are your expertise lies in fitness, nutrition, all this stuff. You've got 600 episodes about this thing. And what I want to know is for podcasters, if they wanted to have clear, mental energy, really clear focus before doing an interview or a solo episode, is there some type of health related tip that you would give them to get in the game, get in the mode for that?
Yeah. So I've tried a bunch of different things over the course of the last several years of interviewing. And generally before I get on an interview with somebody, I have a kind of a routine I go through. I'll do 10, 20 pushups, just something movement based. I live in my body. I'm always I'm very physical. At the risk of sounding I don't think a lot. I'm just moving. I'm just kind of going. So doing something movement based kind of helps me get centered and grounded. That might not be the case for every single person. Then I do something that's healthy and I do something that's unhealthy because, balance. So I take this stuff called DeepMind It's a nootropic, but it's cool because it's not super caffeine. So it's like, so it's something you could take at 3 o'clock if you're podcasting later in the day without staying up too late. It just gives you a little extra focus and clarity. That's just a shameless plug because it's my product and I really like it.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I didn't even know you had your own products. Yeah, plug it away.
Yeah, so DeepMind is the nootropic. I got a sleep aid. I got an amino product that doesn't raise your blood sugar. So it's specifically designed for fasting, and then a protein powder.
Okay, wait, tell me. So this is a big thing that I want to know, because in the later in the day, I cannot drink coffee. Like, I can drink coffee once in the day. If I drink any more, it messes me up, messes my sleep up. I get like chest palpitations. So coffee in the morning is my only thing that I can do. Like, really. So
same. I can't drink it past 11 or I don't sleep.
I can't drink it past 11 either. So that's funny. It has a huge die off rate that I don't think a lot of people know about. But so your supplement is like a way to get like the feeling of caffeine, but not the, like, how does it work?
Yeah, so you don't get like the jitters and the increased heart rate. And even like what's interesting about caffeine is it's a vasoconstrictor, so it makes your blood vessels smaller. So when people train with like a pre-workout, that actually decreases blood flow to their extremities, to their muscles, which is not necessarily always what you want. Obviously, sometimes you want to kick in the ass for like a leg day or whatever. But I like this stuff. I'll take this before a workout. I take it for jujitsu class. It just helps me be a little bit more dialed in. It helps with learning and memory retention. It helps me like do better with people's names. And I just feel like a little bit more like I'm not having to think about like, is there something on Instagram happening? What am I wearing for tomorrow? What's for dinner? You know, I'm just not spinning all the time. I'm just more present.
Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah. It's all like herbal based.
That's amazing. So summary, get in your body. Absolutely. For a lot of stuff, not just podcast recording. I think that's amazing. And yeah, so you use this supplement. That's great. That's exactly what I wanted to know.
I wanted to tell you my unhealthy thing is I pop a Zyn sometimes too.
I've heard so much about those, man. I will not. I touched them once and got this really weird head thing going on that I just like couldn't deal with.
Feels like the hand of God on your central nervous system. You're just like, whoa, I'm a little bit sick and I feel a little bit good. I can't tell where I'm at. Yeah, it's.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just, yeah. So, okay, that's great. I love that. So, okay. I want to ask every single person who comes on to this podcast, especially you, and I already know some hints about this, but I want to dive into it. What is the number one thing that has taken your show to the heights that it is now at? Like the thing that really moved the needle, if you could pinpoint one thing.
Yeah. So I'll start off by saying that my show has a really great title called Low Carb Hustle. So it's very searchable. Most of my episode titles are very SEO friendly. I have on some really cool guests. I try to optimize the show notes so that it's very searchable, because I find that in the fitness and nutrition space, it's not people just binging episodes. They're a lot of times searching for a specific thing. So I want to make sure that it's very searchable. I've always had that. But what I found, to shout out to Grow the Show and Kevin Chmidlin, he really helped me, because he helped me look at where are people listening and where are people dropping off? And I was getting like a 40% drop off before 3 minutes. So I was attracting a ton of people to the show, but I was not keeping them around long enough. And we just made a super simple fix to the show. Is like, I know that you go back and you do the intros after the show, and I do the same thing now. But what I'll do is I'll try to intro the show and talk about what is important. What is the person going to glean from this episode? Like, so make it all about the listener. So before I would just be like, hey, we're, you know, interviewing this guy and he's written 3 books and he's this guy and he does this thing, and just make it all about how great the guest is, or just read their bio verbatim or whatever. And now I'll say something to the effect of like, hey, have you ever wondered what like effect caffeine has on your heart health? You know, try to get a catchy question up front. And then once I'm there, like, well, that's what the next guest is going to talk about. I brought in my friend Gary, and he's going to talk to us all about this. And the reason you want to listen to him is because he's been doing this for a really long period of time, and he knows exactly how X, Y, and Z works. And he's going to break it down for you in a way that's very palatable. So by the end of the episode, you're going to understand this, this, and this. So in the first 90 seconds of the episode, people get a really good idea of what they're going to get out of the episode, because everyone's favorite radio station is Wii FM, right? What's in it for me? And then Kevin also was like, people are coming to your show and they don't know who you are. So still give a brief intro kind of after that. So then I go, hey, you listen to the Low Carb Hustle. My name is Nate Palmer. You know, I've been a trainer since 2008 and helped this many people. And my goal is this, and here's where we're here. And if you want to learn about the effects of this, then stick around. Let's do this. And so I just try to break my intro down into like 1.5 minutes, 1 minute, 45 seconds, to be very, very clear. And what I found was that my drop-off rate decreased dramatically. So now people were listening to like 75, 80% of the episode before I saw any meaningful drop-off. And so it wasn't like I started doing something and all of a sudden my listenership exploded. It was just that I was able to keep people around longer, get more subscribers. So people who would find me randomly ended up becoming listeners of the show. So it's still a long game, but it wasn't this like magic bullet, but it made a massive difference for me.
I have a thought and then a follow-up question. So my first thought about that is so before you had a canned intro, like you had like music and like voiceover or whatever. And I think that what happens to a lot of podcast listeners when they hear something like that is it just doesn't feel like the show is really set up for them, like with them in mind. And so when you do this dynamic intro that you create every single time specifically for each episode, it just like shows the listener that you're putting in that time to take care of them. And I think that a lot of people, when they're listening to podcasts, they have troubles committing to a podcast because it is a commitment. Like you're going to be listening to the show every single week and week and week and week after. And it's like a big thing. It's like, oh, if I listen to this first episode, like then I might like, you know, then I have to make a commitment. And so showing them right at the start that you're taking care of them and that you're making that intro for them every time is just so, so huge. And so your intro before, I wonder if we could even like play it or something. Maybe that's something that I can do an edit, like play it here. Boom. Something like that. Yeah. So with your intro changing, did you find that like, were you getting comments from people that they noticed the change in the intro, or was it just like downloads just kind of started increasing?
Yeah, it was just it was just over time. It just felt like it was a natural thing. And so no, I don't even think people really noticed it, but I think people started feeling like, okay, this episode is for me. Or they might get into it and be like, actually, this episode's not for me. The other one that he did out previously was.
Yeah, beautiful. And the other thing that you said was about SEO, and that is something that I'm just not super familiar with in podcasting. But I know personally that when it comes to fitness and health, I am searching for a specific problem that I'm struggling with. And so lining up, like that's a big takeaway for anybody listening. Lining up your episode titles to be framed in a way that are searchable, that's probably one of the biggest bombs of this episode that I would highlight. I think that it is more important even in your space than it is in other spaces as well.
And I think that you can get there like naturally. I've been doing this for so long that I know what people are searching. I know what they're looking for. You know, I keep track of like some of the trending keywords and stuff. So if I say something about Ozempic in the episode, I'm writing Ozempic in the show notes, you know, just to make sure that like that trending keywords are staying in there. But if you're not necessarily familiar with the short or the long tail keywords that people are using, you can go to Google keyword research and just type in fitness, fat loss, nutrition, or whatever your niche is. And then it'll come up with like the most searched keywords. So you can just kind of start mentioning those either in the show or in the show notes as they resonate. And then once you figure it out, then you don't even need to like go do that so much research on every episode. You'll just kind of understand what those look like. And then if you have 20 keywords that you're like, these are my keywords, this is what we focus on. You know, for me, it's a lot about fasting. It's a lot about aminos. It's a lot about weight training, strength training, protein, that sort of thing. I just have those kind of on autopilot and I don't have to stress too much about them anymore. And then I have a team that does all my like post-production, my editing, show notes and stuff like that. And they're familiar with what those keywords are. And so they incorporate them into all the show notes.
Cool. And before, yeah, that's all really, really, there's tons of good stuff in there. The keyword thing I think is really important. But just before we move on to like a different topic, I just want to quickly probe on the intro a little bit more because I know that our listeners would like to have some like actionable advice. So when you're actually just like, when you're putting the intro together to do after the episode, are you like writing it down or do you just have it down at this point that you just like off the cuff, like kind of just naturally flowing?
I think for the first 50 or so, I wrote it down. And now I think about it before I go, what my question is, because I always want to have to start it off like, have you ever wondered, have you ever felt like, have you ever been in this position where I have something that's like, that's going to resonate with a large portion of the audience? And then I'll just kind of go off the cuff about what the episode is about. But it took me a while to get there.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's perfect. Now, the next thing that I wanted to ask you is you have so many episodes and obviously like you're running a big business as well. You're working with all these clients and everything. And so how do you continue to keep up weekly episodes just week after week after week while, like, I mean, you, I don't even think I saw a break anywhere in there. Like, how are you keeping your time leveraged through all that?
Sometimes it's good because I'm staying on top of stuff. I'm staying at like, you know, 5-6 weeks out on episodes. And then sometimes like last week, like my editor was like, hey, we don't have an episode for this week. And I was like, shit, what? Oh, dang it. So like, then I'll go like record a solo episode or something if I've forgotten about it. But generally, I like to use the podcast as a way of connecting with interesting people, people I want to collaborate with or just build relationships with. So I always am trying to do outreach, which has been really great because I have an accountability coach who helps me with some of the delivery of my coaching programs. I have an admin who helps me with some of the system stuff. And so my time can be spent like doing outreach, making connections, building relationships, things that I want to do anyways that I couldn't do when I was swamped with a lot of minutia. So I just try to keep those in a part of my day where I have on Mondays, I call it Map It Out Mondays. And then Fridays, I do Follow Up Fridays. So I try to do a lot of those outreach moves on those 2 days when I've kind of taken like calls off my calendar.
Yeah. For anybody listening, this is what it takes to keep these high level shows going week after week. This is the kind of planning and process that you need to have somewhere in there. Now, one thing that I noticed about your show, just curious about any of your thoughts on this, is like you have a pretty good mix of solo episodes and interviews. Now, first question would be like, is there like, do you find that one performs better than the other? Or is there like any thought in your mind about keeping it like 50-50? Or is it just kind of like letting the podcast feed flow naturally?
I was used to be a lot more regimented about it. I would try to do like segments where I would do a lot of solo episodes. And that was especially true if I was trying to build something out in my business, try to acquire more clients, trying to sell more things, because I want people to know that I'm not just an interviewer. I'm actually an expert in these subjects. So I think that it's really important as podcasters to have some solo episodes to let people know what it is you do and how you do it and like what's like give me some of that behind the scenes. But then I also like sometimes I'm in my like in kind of the business, I want more collaboration, I want more outreach, I need to connect with certain people. And the podcast is such an amazing tool to do that. It's so fun, right? Like if we weren't podcasting together, like the chances of us getting on a call and just like chit-chatting, like that's so much lower because it doesn't feel like, you know, we're both really busy and we have a lot going on. So this is such a fun way to connect, build a relationship and continue to like create content. You know, like that's a fun thing to do together.
Yeah. So it sounds like interviews, good. Solo episodes, good. Good for different reasons, but both good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think the collaborations and the interviews, that's like a really long-term thing. I think the solo episodes can be a bit like more of a short-term gain, especially if you're trying to create more clients or deliver a specific like set of instructions to your listeners.
Okay, so something that I know that I'm going to need to ask or else someone's going to be pissed off that I didn't. You said solo episodes for your business. So when I look at your podcast with 1 million+ downloads, I'm wondering, where are you putting the podcast? Where are you putting it so that people are getting their eyes on it? Like, how are you getting new listeners? Social media or ads on other shows? Like, what's been working?
So I did some ads for a while, like basically like on podcast player apps, like Overcast and
Pocket Casts.
Yep. So I was running some ads there and they seemed like they were doing good. I don't know if the ROI was really worth it because I'd get like 30 new subscribers for like $400, $500. So I was like, I don't know. That was kind of like a not my best trade-off. I think my new listeners primarily come from SEO-driven podcast titles. Really having sexy podcast titles that people want to click on. And because even for a while, like, a year and a half ago, summer of 22 for me, I think I was one of the first people to do this. I don't know. This could be complete bullshit. You tell me. But I was taking clips of my episode and I was interspersing them with like B-roll clips of my guests talking, doing stuff, exercising, doing whatever, and then collaborating on posts with my guests. And that was one of like, cause I tried to make them look really, really good in a way that made like, again, created content that they wanted to share. Because I found that like people weren't sharing the episodes. They weren't emailing their list. Everyone says they will. And they, you know, probably are not going to. So give them a reason to share your stuff because you're putting out great content and you're taking something off their plate. And so when I was doing that, and I was kind of doing those, like just the podcast reels, I was getting tons and tons of views on Instagram. I was getting like 15,000 views on my reels. And since then, it's like really plummeted, especially in the last like 3 or 4 months. Like talking head podcast reels are getting such less engagement and reach. So I haven't been putting as much time and effort into it, but you know, just trying to figure out what's that next thing? Where's the best ROI on my time and energy?
You hit the nail on the head there. Repurposed podcast content has gone downhill because everybody started doing it. It just became incredibly saturated, something we've been saying a lot. But it sounds like, yeah, just to summarize again, because I always like to do that, SEO titles, man, what an unlock. So that keeps coming back. And then the second thing was these old collaboration posts that you would do, but now it's sort of, yeah, it's just harder to get the organic reach. Yeah. Okay. Last question, man. I do like to keep interviews a little bit shorter. That's one of my strategies, just to keep things like actionable and respect everybody's time. But this has been, there's been like so much stuff. I can't even remember all the things that we covered.
Good thing you have it recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Funny. So the last question would be like, you've had so many guests on your podcast. You've had a bunch of big guests on your podcast. What is the, I would say, like number one tip you would give to somebody to get a guest on their podcast who's like that dream guest?
I think to get a really great guest, you have a warm intro. Figure out let's say we're having this conversation and I was really strategic and I went through your podcast list of guests. At the end of this episode, I'd be like, hey, could you connect me with this guy? Any chance you could email and like set this up? Because that's, I think that's the best way to get someone who's like a name in the industry. I will say this though, I don't get as much off of big guests as I do off of specific niche guests who have passionate followings. So I'll get more views and downloads from an episode that from someone who's got like 1500 followers on Instagram than I do sometimes off of people who have like 100,000, 200,000 followers. Just because they are more likely to share, their people are more likely to like go in and listen to them talk, because it's like, I had Gary Breck on. Well, if you listen to any of other Gary Breck's other interviews, they sound similar. They're like, it wasn't a unique interview where I was asking him all these crazy new questions. So like, if you go and listen to like Jesse Itzler or Ed Milet or some of like the really big names that people are like, oh my God, if I could just get this person on my podcast, well, they're going to give you the exact same talk that they've given 50 other times. So it's not really that special. But if you take someone who's like got a great following of just moms and all they do is talk about mom stuff, and then you give them a platform and they share that, they're going to A, be really, really grateful. And their people are going to be like, oh my gosh, so-and-so is on this podcast. This is crazy. And then they're going to become listeners of your podcast. So I think that focusing on big guests can be one of like the traps that podcasters fall into, because we're just like, man, if I could just get Tim Ferriss, everything would change. And it probably won't.
Whoa. First time I ever heard that, straight from the source of podcast success. That's beautiful, man. We got to clip that. So looking for big fish in a small pond rather than these massive guests, because you are totally right. Like, there comes a point where I stop listening to Alex Hormozi or I stop listening to Gary Vee, because it's the same thing on every single show, right? They can ask unique questions, but somebody's already asked it or he's already said it somewhere. So this is probably really, I would say, comforting and reassuring and inspiring for a lot of smaller podcasters who feel maybe a little bit beat down by the fact that they don't have these connections. It's like, that's not an excuse. Sometimes it could be a strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like leveraging the power of your personal network, doing a little bit of research and figuring out who's like, you see someone who's got 1,000 followers on Instagram, but they're getting 150 likes on every post. They're getting like, 5,000 views on all their reels. That person has a really engaged audience. That'd probably be a great guest.
Yeah. This has been incredible, man. I respect your time. I know this like isn't what you do all the time, and you're so, so great in the nutrition space and fitness space. And so coming on here talking about podcasting, I really appreciate it. Now, where do you want people to go and what do you want them to do?
Oh, check out the podcast. It's called Low Carb Hustle if you're interested in the fitness and nutrition side of stuff. And then honestly, like, my big goal right now is just kind of building out the supplement brand. So if you're interested in the market for leveling up your fitness, dialing in your nutrition at all, go to milliondollarbodylabs.com. We've got a special going on right now where you can use the code MDB15 to get 15% off your order. And then I'll send you a nice card in the mail. And I'll probably, like, you know what I've been doing recently? I'm just going to tell you this. You can cut this out if you want to. But I'm trying to, so with every supplement, I'm trying to do this, like I'm not going to ever be the biggest supplement brand. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. It's not going to happen. But I do want to have the most legendary follow-up in the supplement space. So what I've been doing is someone places an order, then I send them out a physical card of like, hey, thank you for your order. I really appreciate you. Welcome to the family. And then 2 weeks later, I send them a physical copy of my book, The $1 Million Body Method, from Amazon. I just drop that in the mail for them. Then a month later, I send them out a recipe on how to use this fast aid stuff that I just think is so awesome to make this great like fasting drink, like a frozen lemonade. Then the month after that, I send them like a home workout they can do. And I have a 12-month like physical card sequence that I send to people. And I have no data to support that that's a good idea. I just like it.
Dude, this is amazing. It's funny because we're doing something similar. Every new client, we hopefully a client doesn't listen to this because it's supposed to be a surprise, but every new client, we send them a sticker of their podcast logo to drop onto their microphone and a hat and a shirt with the logo. So just like giving them some podcast swag. And I think, again, no data, but it's just like it makes the difference in their mind. And I'm not going to cut this out because we all run businesses here as well. We're not just podcasters. And like this type of thing, like little gestures make a massive difference in the long run in people's minds of their perception of your brand and your company. So 100%, I think that's great.
Yeah, it just goes towards building that community, right? Someone's going to look at their mic and then see their own logo on it and be like, Justin did that, you know?
Exactly. Every time.
every single time I would get a new referral from an existing client, I would buy them a tattoo. So I got people out in the ether right now who have like their bodies all tatted up that I've paid for. So every time they see like this tattoo, they think of me, which I'm like, how can you beat that?
That's one of the craziest things. Oh man. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, man. Well, go listen to Low Carb Hustle, especially if you're interested in health the way that I am. Like I've already listened to a ton of those episodes anyways. So I can personally vouch, absolutely great show. And also the supplement stuff, it's all going to be in the show notes. Thanks a lot, man. This has been fantastic.
It's super fun. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, totally.